Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to two freelancers who've built massive personal brands for themselves. First up, John Yushe, who actually still works a full-time job as the head of creator product marketing at YouTube. John's a writer for sites like Time, Forbes, and Inc. Magazine, the latter of which ranked him as one of the top seven marketers of the year. John's written countless stories that have gone insanely viral. We're talking 1 million plus views, and he runs his own blog called Every Vowel, with more than 400,000 monthly readers, where he shares a weekly cartoon that pokes fun at workplace culture. John's been freelancing on the side of his day job for a while now, and his primary source of freelance income actually comes from Fiverr, where he books consultation calls and takes on writing projects with companies that want their products to go viral. Next up in this episode is my conversation with Jerry Nelson, a freelancer with a fascinating life story that, no joke, reminds me a lot of the journey that Tom Hanks' character went on in the movie Forrest Gump. But that's neither here nor there. And unlike Forrest, Jerry's built a massive freelance business for himself over the past couple of decades. He's done work for companies like National Geographic, CNN, Getty Images, and more. And everything really got started for Jerry back with the photo and written documentation of a walk he did from Washington, D.C. to Humboldt County, California. His story is seriously incredible. In this episode, John, Jerry, and I talk about the creative projects, endeavors, stunts, and promotion strategies that have helped them both to build incredibly powerful personal brands, ones that have helped kept high-value clients knocking on their doors since the day they started freelancing. We're digging into the ways John and Jerry got started freelancing, how they landed their first few clients, and the side projects that have helped them generate more buzz for themselves over the years. We cover how both John and Jerry use Fiverr Pro, the company's premium community of higher-priced gigs, to land more clients, and they both share their best piece of advice for freelancers who are just getting started today. All of this and so much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with John Yushe and Jerry Nelson. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So I want to get straight into this. You're a man of many talents and many different projects, and I want to dig into everything that you do because our listeners here today are starting and growing their own side projects, which range from freelancing, which you do, to blogging, which you do, to building other types of businesses, which you've done as well. So to start this off, can you tell us about Every Vowel?
Yeah, totally. And I also want to start off by saying, like, if you're listening to the podcast and you're a part of the Side Hustle Project, like, I already have a lot of respect for you. I always find it crazy that people define themselves by one thing when they get older. And the fact that, you know, your listeners have a side hustle, you know, keeping life interesting and just continuing that, like, path of learning. I just want to give a huge shout out to your audience. And it's an honor to be on this podcast first and foremost.
That's so true. I love it.
Cool. So Every Vowel, I always think about it as, you know, my adulthood realization about my childhood passion. And my childhood passion and something I just did in my free time was I was like big into cartooning, doodling, drawing, like all stuff they're like, okay, that's very nice, but don't do it as an adult. And I, you know, I went to the University of Pennsylvania. I studied business at the Wharton School. And, you know, people are all about like pick a career, be a professional. And it was only after, you know, I graduated, I started picking up the pen again, started doodling, creating cartoons around the office place and the corporate environment that I created this series called Every Vowel, which just started because I have every vowel in my last name. And
there we go.
Yep. And then I thought it'd be fun, like take the vowels and create characters out of them, like give them hands and legs and put them into this world where, you know, it's like talking alphabet letters. I know it sounds crazy, like your listeners aren't, it's a whole visual thing. You just got to go to everyvowel.com or on Facebook/everyvowel and you got to see it. And now every Monday I come out with a new cartoon where it's these characters like in this world that, like, you know, they're all working in an office together, but the main character is a letter Y because he sometimes feels like a vowel, but sometimes doesn't. So he like represents that identity crisis that a lot of Generation Y millennials feel. And so every Monday I put out a new cartoon that, you know, speaks to the adventures of Y in this world of vowels. And each of the vowels has a different, persona. But anyways, this is just like something that I put out with friends. And then my friends are like, dude, John, you got to put this out there. Like, and I was like, okay, like, I don't think anybody's going to want to see a grown ass man, like drawing cartoons, like fun of like corporate life and trying to help like blend laughter and learning is my whole thing. But it's to my wildest, you know, it's beat my wildest expectations. Now every vowel has been called a Dilbert, for millennials. It's been featured in Forbes, Time, Fast Company, Business Insider, Inc., like all these places. We've grown an audience of over 400,000 readers. It's particularly blown up on LinkedIn. Like one of the cartoons got 97,000 likes. I didn't even know that was possible.
Wow.
And it's just been a lot of fun to, you know, have that going and learn from it. And, you know, a lot of people talk about like, oh, this is what you have to do to grow an audience, but to actually do it has allowed me to like learn and help others do the same. So it's been this ongoing thing. This has just been so fun to develop and see the community grow around it.
So if there has been like a moment or a tipping point or a thing that happened that really sort of like pushed every vowel from project for friends, family over the edge and turned it into this thing that's, you know, gone viral on so many different publications, social networks. Like, could you point at one specific moment or maybe a handful of them?
Totally. I could point to two definitively. One is Adam Grant, who's a best-selling author. He wrote Originals, Give and Take, was a professor and still is and a dear mentor of mine. And I'll never forget, like, he took a chance on me when he really didn't have to. And he put one of my cartoons in his TED talk that now has, I think it has like something like, it has millions of views. It's an amazing TED talk.
Choose your mentors wisely.
Yeah. Or just, yeah, he's one of the most giving. I honestly feel like a lot of the opportunities I've been given have been provided by him, and I'm forever grateful and hopefully I could pay it forward. But he put one of my cartoons in his TED talk. And that generated a lot of buzz and interest and more than anything, legitimacy. And that was in the first few months. And then every Monday I would put out a new cartoon, and I'll never forget this one I put up that was all about like how executives write emails versus how, associates write emails. And like executives is like thoughts, see attachment, right? And the other panel is about how associates write. And I literally took one of my emails that I once wrote. I was like, hey, sorry for bothering you. Like, hey, could you get your thoughts maybe on this attachment? It'd be great at your earliest convenience. Just like poking fun at how, you know, like, you know, how I used to talk before I learned how to speak senior. That just, you know, exploded like on all social media platforms. I think it got about 17,000 likes on Facebook, 6,000 shares. And like we talked about the LinkedIn numbers, Twitter, like, and that just brought a whole audience that I never expected, press and all that. So that was very cool to see. People started framing it. Like somebody etched it on this wooden, box. They sent it to my house. Like how they got my address. Maybe it was on my newsletter. It was just crazy, man. And just spoke to like producing content consistently. Is the key to trying to grow.
Mm-hmm. And so you've sort of gotten to a point now where you've had enough things go viral. You've done enough things to help make them go viral that you're starting to sort of like systematize this rather into a service offering of sorts, right? And so that's kind of like where I see the freelancing or consulting side of your life like beginning to step in. So at what point did you start doing kind of the freelancing consulting?
Yeah, it always kind of happened haphazardly. Like I also started writing for Forbes and Time Magazine as a contributor. And I had seen this whole, like the cartoon thing started taking off. I had an article for Forbes that hit 1.5 million views. And people started asking, oh, how do you do that? Like, it seems like you figured it out across mediums. And I was like, okay, like maybe I started helping out a few clients here and there. I was like, okay, maybe I should start something on my site that's like, you know, like every vowel consulting services. And I kid you not, right around that time that I was starting to build that on my own website, I got an email from Fiverr and they're like, hey, we're launching this new thing called Fiverr Pro. Do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, wow, like all this stuff that I was going to have to build myself, I was going to have to worry about marketing myself, you know, I never thought about the premium game that now Fiverr is getting into and that I feel so fortunate to be a part of as something that would be the next phase and or next iteration I'd explore. But that's how it started. And it's been an amazing journey since.
So I don't want you to give away too much of the secret sauce for free, but for people listening today who...
Free, man, that's the point.
You give it all. Okay, we'll take it all. We'll take it all as much as you want to give. So what is, if you had to sort of like boil your process down of when you do take on a consulting client, like what does that process kind of look like when, I mean, I'm assuming their goal is like, we want our product to go viral or we want marketing content that can sort of like bring audience.
Yeah. So here's why I'm comfortable giving away the secret sauce is because even if I give it away, like I hope people do this. I will put in so much work into researching each of my clients and getting to know their industry, talking to clients. Like I had a real estate client the other day and they were based in Texas. So I found somebody who, you know, was in real estate and property management in Texas. I spoke to them, tried to get a lay of the land. Like I have a little bit of understanding. I ended up just, it was like, it's almost like preparing for a test, except, you know, it's real world. And it's a client that, you know, I see myself as a part of their business whenever they hire me. And to be able to charge the prices that I do and to be able to take on these clients, like I take it super seriously when it comes to preparation and, you know, trying to research every single thing. Like if I didn't read every single social media post that they put up, then, you know, that's something I have to do. I have to know about the competitive space. I want to come with a list of ideas and tactics that I want to discuss on the call. So I need to drive that agenda. So all that takes a lot of preparation and there's no secret other than a lot of hard work that goes into it.
I love that. So who would be, if anyone stands out in your mind, who would be like your favorite client that you've already worked with up to this point? And, you know, favorite is a very loose term, right? Like it could be the highest paying project. It could be the one you had the most fun with, whatever, leaving that open to interpretation.
Ryan, that's like asking a parent who their favorite kid is. That's hot water. They're listening. You know, okay, favorite is a loaded term. I'm going to go with one of the many interesting projects because I think one of the other cool things about being on the Fiverr platform is just the variety of clients. Like I've had 60 clients now from all over the world in the span of 3 months, like, and from all different industries. And it's just blown my mind. Like I had a Bollywood artist ask like how to increase his following. And now we've got him up to 400,000 followers on Facebook. And we're growing his other social media presences. But if I had to give a really specific example, I'd say there's this wonderful entrepreneur by the name of Adam Fitting. And he started this startup called Comprehensive Cranium Care. And it's basically beauty products for bald people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I might want to bookmark that for about 5 years from now.
Yeah. You and me both. It's not only a unique product, but the thing that we talked about, like after looking at the landscape, is how can we create a brand message around bald is beautiful and really start to own that and create a campaign and almost do what Dove did when it came to, you know, like celebrating like people of all body types, but, you know, have Comprehensive Cranium Care be that brand for people of all, like there's a variety of reasons why somebody would be bald. It could be hereditary. It could be by choice. It could be for medical reasons. Like people use this product that, are going through like some cancer or other medical situations that lead to hair loss. So we want to make sure that it was a product that really had as impactful of a social message as it is a great product. So that was a really interesting one to create campaign around, talk about the social media strategy, reposition, and just work with the entrepreneur in Adam, who's just wonderful. And we were able to push each other. We did, now we've done three calls. He's made three orders and he's been one of my the most interesting clients and one of the top repeat clients.
So one thing that I'd be really curious to hear from you is what your distribution of client acquisition looks like. So you've got Fiverr Pro stuff. Do you get like a lot of inbound emails? Do you do outbound, like cold emailing people to try and get new business? What does that look like?
Yeah. So it's so funny. Fiverr has changed the game. Like they, like I, if I get inbound, I'll just send them to my Fiverr page now. You know, like I don't want to worry about
it. It's just easier.
It's easier. And people talk about like the cut they take. And I think there was a wonderful article on the Fiverr blog that talked about this, but they like a lot of the work, like the marketing and all that, like it's taken care of, you know, and I do a lot of things on my end. To try to optimize it. Like I spend a lot of time editing together a video that I put on my Fiverr page that's led to a spike in orders. And I really believe that if I'm going to offer marketing services, I need to be the best in class and showing that on my Fiverr page, not just saying. Because you have a lot of these people like, oh, they're a guru, they're a ninja. Like, what the heck does that mean? Like, just show me, right? Just show me what you're going to provide. And you know, if your thumbnail doesn't look awesome, if it doesn't look clean, like just all these things I try to put in that, you know, I now have moved from trying to think about like marketing just myself to marketing my services within the context of Fiverr, just because the audience is already there.
I love that. All right. Well, John, this is going to be my last question for you. For someone who is just starting today and they want to get into freelancing or consulting, they don't have all these features on major publications. They don't have, you know, a site with 400,000 readers. They don't have the credibility that someone like you has today. What would be your best piece of advice for someone who's literally just starting out? What should they do? Where should they go? And how do they get started?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say I was you. Like if you're listening and you're thinking like, oh, here's this dude with all his credibility. Like, listen, it was just a few years ago. And really to the start, like my parents are like immigrated here from Iran. We're Iranian Jews, like very like few like connections starting off. And I think the thing that has put me in the position that I am today is just like hustling. And quite frankly, like doing a lot of free work at the beginning to prove myself and to get a lot of like the clients, like, you know, like, and the reputation, like a lot of the writing I did back in the day, or a lot of the times when I reached out to these journalists, I would just give them stories and that was it. Like, I really believe in putting good karma out into the world. And some point, someday it'll come back to you. You don't have to keep tabs. So if I was a listener and you know, thinking about your listeners specifically, and they're thinking about starting that side hustle, first of all, I'd say get off your ass. Just do it. You know, if you've been thinking about it, just do it. You got to start. You got to start. Get that, you know, that inner critic in your mind, like, oh, you can't do it. You can't charge for it. You know, there's maybe some truth to that you should maybe start out doing it for free, get a client base, get a portfolio, and or start doing it cheap. And then over time, like this is all about the long game. You know, just add value to others, and eventually they'll come to help you. And then also I'd say, you know, you have to show it. Like I think a lot of people reach out like, oh, I want to go into marketing, or I want to go into career coaching. Or career coaching is one of the funniest ones. I'm like, you want to go into career coaching? You're 22. What career have you had? You know, like just do it first. And that's why I, you know, and there's a difference. You can still give career advice. Like once you've kind of cross the threshold that you're trying to help people cross. Like I'm a big believer in doing before helping others do it as well. I'm a big believer in like this is not like an academic practice. This is a practical practice. This is something you gotta put into action. And I've tried to do that with all of the stuff, because otherwise I wouldn't feel comfortable helping other people do it. And then also just trying to check up on them as much as possible and be like, hey, like I tell all my clients, like this, we have the initial call. I'm like, send me the edits you're making. Like, send me the copy. Like, I want to edit it. I want to be there in the weeds of the details, because that makes the difference.
I love that. That's awesome advice. All right. Well, John, so we've got everyvowel.com that everyone's heard already. Where else can people go to learn more about you and everything you're up to?
Yeah. So I want to do something special for your audience, because I'm really appreciative of this opportunity to be on your show. And I'd say if you go find my gig on Fiverr, so if you just search Every Vowel, EveryVowel on Fiverr. And if you send me a private message and say that you are a listener of Ryan's amazing podcast, I will give you 10% off. And so I want to do that do that for you guys. And also, I think we'll include just a unique link that we can put in the description to help you get it. But it'll be a bit.ly link slash. Let me just look this up so I don't send them to some other page. But we'll put in a bit link as well. It'll be bit.ly/viral viral gig.
But beautiful.
I'll send that over to you so we can include that.
Perfect. And yeah, for everyone listening, that'll be in the show notes with the post at ryrob.com/podcast. Find John's episode and let's get started with it. John, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. That was our interview with John Yushe. And now we're going to move over to my conversation with Jerry Nelson. And I want you to buckle your seatbelts because this one is fascinating. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here and finally catch up with you. I had to come to America to do it, but it was good.
You did. We tried first. And where were you? You were in Argentina?
Buenos Aires, yeah.
All right.
Tonight I'm in Washington, D.C.
Beautiful. What brings you to D.C. now?
My wife. We've been married 5 years. Allie's Argentine. And this is the first good chance we've had to show her the Capitol and look around the White House and just see all the sights and do the touristy thing.
All right. I love it. And we're here to talk today about what is helping you to do this kind of lifestyle, to travel around quite a bit. And that is freelancing, right? So when did you get started with your freelancing, or maybe, you know, what career path led you to where you are?
I started freelancing back in the 70s before it was called freelancing. Then it was called being a stringer. And I would do occasional articles and photography for various newspapers wherever I was stationed. And then as I got better, my skills got better, I was able to move up the food chain into bigger and a little bit stronger newspapers. And then after, I guess maybe after 10, 20 years, got busy with life and kind of put it aside. And it wasn't until, about 2007 that I got back in full-time into freelancing. So for 10 years now, I've been freelancing, freelance writer and photographer only, nothing else.
So whether it was with your sort of first journey into freelancing back in the 70s or your more recent path, can you remember who your first sort of big client was? Like someone who really like changed things for you?
National Geographic.
I would say that's a big client.
Yeah, that's it definitely qualifies. The only problem is that it's all downhill after that. Where do you go after National Geographic? In 2006, after about 32 years of marriage, I got divorced, and it's a long story. It's a fascinating story, not because it's mine, but just because it's a fascinating story. And I walked across America. From the West Coast to the East Coast. And 2007 was the 25th anniversary of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And that was my goal, to be here in Washington for the anniversary. And I got left the West Coast December 17th, 2006, got here June 30th, 2007, and spent about 3 months here. And Washington, despite the appearances of everybody else in the country, Washington is a small town. Everybody knows everybody else. People talk. And somehow National Geographic heard about my walk across America. And they contacted me and wanted to know my next step, which was to take a bicycle trip from here in Washington to Humboldt County, California. And they gave me a camera. They put put a GPS on my bicycle, and I wrote stories and did some photography all the way over to Humboldt. So that's really, really was the first time I got heavily into freelancing. It looked great on the resume.
And I got to apologize in advance for this, but I cannot help but think of Forrest Gump when you're telling this story. It's so ridiculous. That's awesome.
I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody has told me that. And I'm not offended, and I don't mean that negatively. Forrest Gump had such a great story. And yes, there's a lot of parallels and a lot of similarities. I ended up in Humboldt County, California. Then spent a year in Georgia where I had quadruple bypass surgery. And then in 2010, to celebrate the one-year anniversary, I rode a bicycle again from the East Coast up to Florence, Oregon, and just enjoyed it. I've been enjoying life the whole time.
About
spring of 2012, had this lady in Argentina that had been following my work and my travels and kind of enjoying living life vicariously through me. And she sent me a message on the email one day and said she was a fan and just wanted to follow along and let me know that she appreciated it. Well, she also wanted to know when where I was going to be in October. And I looked at the calendar and it was going to be at a Cherokee powwow in Tennessee. So she took 2 weeks vacation, came up from Buenos Aires, went to the powwow with me. I met her at the airport in Nashville. A week later, I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. So when we leave here, Washington, tomorrow, we're going to Roanoke to see my mother, and then over to Nashville for the same powwow and celebrate 5 years of marriage.
Wow. Well, congratulations. So that's, hell of a journey.
It's been great. The Cherokee at the powwow 5 years ago heard that Allie and I wanted to get married, and they just pulled out all the stops. They gave us a full-blown, full traditional Cherokee wedding with the robes and the knife swap, and it was great. So we get to celebrate 5 years of marriage with some friends there on the Trail of Tears.
Awesome. Well, hey, rewinding a little bit, I want to dig into what happened after you had your first big break. So you went and you did this awesome, awesome thing. Your first walk across America, you got a lot of attention from National Geographic. You covered some of the journey as a paid freelance project with them. What happened next? Like, did you parlay that work into reaching out to more people, or have you sort of had work coming inbound to you?
I'd love to be able to say that I parlayed my skills into that job into more work. But that wouldn't be true. I've been fortunate. I have always had work, and it's always been people that have seen my work somewhere and called me up and say, "Hey, I've got this story. Would you be interested in covering it?" So I've been real fortunate. I've never had to sit around and look for clients for a long periods of time. A few weeks here, a few weeks there, but never for months at a time.
Yeah. So your work basically breeds more work. And so you recently joined Fiverr Pro, which is definitely a different approach, right? Like, this is a platform where people do come to you. They already have a need and they're looking for someone with the expertise. So how has it been since you joined the marketplace?
The marketplace, you mean Fiverr?
Correct.
It's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal. Everything that I had to do on my own for the past number of years, Fiverr has been there to pick up for me. I don't have to worry about maintaining a website. I don't have to worry about foot traffic coming to. I don't have to worry about invoicing. I don't have to worry about the taxes. I don't have to worry about the 1,001 things that get many freelancers sidetracked. I get the opportunity, because of Fiverr, to focus on what I like to think I do best. And that's writing, that's producing product for the client. Fiverr has put me in front of clients that I never would have been in front of without Fiverr. 2 weeks ago, I finished up a pretty long gig with the largest Chinese importer-exporter in Beijing. They never would have found me if it hadn't been for Fiverr. Last week, I did a gig for a guy who owns and wholesales pearls. And this guy has been on the Today Show, The View, a lot of other television shows. And he came across me on Fiverr. that never would have happened if I had been a mom. Another thing that Fiverr has done for me, I had a potential client contact me about 3 weeks ago. He was 20-something, writing a book. He knew everything about it. He wanted me to edit it, but I didn't know anything about it. From his perspective, I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know what was, and I tried to guide him along the way, and he just wouldn't listen. He wouldn't take suggestions, advice, nothing. So I was able to cancel the gig. Fiverr made sure that I got paid for it. Now, if I had been on my own, I would have put in 3 weeks worth of work for this guy and never saw a cent for it. But Fiverr was there. They had my back. My agent is a lady named Trisha Price, and she just stepped in there. I've been following the conversation on the message channel in Fiverr, and this is what we'll do. If you'll cancel it, I'll make sure you get paid anyway. So those are just a few examples of how Fiverr has really stepped in for me.
And you actually bring up a really interesting point, I think, with, freelancing in general, but especially something that I hear about the marketplace sites. You know, you have like Upwork, Fiverr, Freelancer, and you don't really necessarily know much about the clients you're working for in advance. And, you know, what you said there, you had some, what I think, somewhat unique clients reach out to you. And maybe that's because you're a pro seller. Maybe that's because you have an established sort of brand for yourself. But in general, do you feel like you get the kinds of clients messaging you on sites like Fiverr, the kinds of clients that you want?
Do I get the desired clients on Fiverr? Is that what? Yes. Yeah.
All right, Jerry. Well, this is going to be my last question for you today. What would be your single best piece of advice to someone who's wanting to get started with freelancing today?
Never say no. Never say no. Once a person has a client roster, and once a person has kind of hit the role, then you can start picking and choosing clients. You can fire clients. But when you're starting out, never say no. It might be $10 for a 200-word piece, but you never know who they know. And so that one thing can start snowballing by itself. So the biggest piece of advice is just that, never say no.
Awesome. All right, well, Jerry, thanks for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go to learn more about you and all of your work?
Fiverr.com/J. Andrew Nelson.
Perfect. All right, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.